So pro would be no liabilities.
It's a new organization.
A new organization.
It'd be a con for hospital.
Hospital district.
Well, so.
No liabilities for fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no liability for fire three, con is liabilities remain with PhD.
So, yeah, so add that.
There's a con in that liabilities remain with PhD.
Yeah, they pick up the liability and none of the revenue.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. There's also no, no union contract anymore, I suppose, if the EMS, if the team disappears.
Would that be an issue?
That's an issue.
That's an issue. And then we get into the management and workforce cultural issue.
Well, only if personnel are coming over.
Yeah, right.
Solve it.
Right.
Right.
You can apply. You can apply and we'll hire you. If you like where we are, fine. If you don't, you don't have to work here.
Right, that is also a management workforce issue for the fire districts as it currently exists.
Initially, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'll have to staff up.
You got 3 to 5 years.
Well, that's part of the con is, yeah, create everything from scratch. You need the EMS license, you need the new staff to do this, one way or the other, whether you hire the old people or new people or the combination of the two. You're gonna start everything. Provider numbers.
They may not look at it as a con.
It could be both a pro and a con.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Depending on which side of the runway you're sitting on, yes.
Can you listen to something again?
Hiring, yeah, providing the numbers, licensing. Basically, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that goes both ways.
Buildings?
That's a con for PhD.
Yeah, liability.
It's not a problem for the fire district. They, well, they have to find a building. Yeah, so they have to find a building for the fire district or build one.
They'd have to find a spot to run that.
Somehow they have to have a place to run it out of.
Or relocate their maintenance and run the, run out of their existing buildings and their maintenance go somewhere.
It's still a significant.
It is.
It's an issue. Buildings are an issue for both. So what are the pros again? There must be pros besides.
Well, reduction in expenses. Well, hopefully you got synergies of scale, so there's a reduction.
So the hope is that we're, yeah, by combining, basically creating a combined EMS fire entity.
In the long term.
You have economies of scale.
Economies of scale. So, yeah, either the fire department's going to make more money or the taxpayers are going to pay less money. My senses will be the former, not the latter.
A pro could be you could have firefighter EMTs now working together with the rest of the system.
Yeah, that'd be your, that's your economies of scale. I mean, that's
under that same correct.
Yeah.
Well, this is a financial consideration. This is a operational consideration. Yeah.
I think once you get these on paper, we're going to have a list of many other things that will go along with them. I think right now, just flushing the big items.
Yeah, I can make the, in the minutes, you guys can jump in and add stuff in, and we can do like a collaborative thing.
Yeah, we don't want to change minutes from what we end up with tonight, but we do want a working document maybe, that we have work from here forward as a work plan.
Right.
Other issues on there. An interesting issue is the cutover from old EMS system to new EMS system. When you dissolve the existing system, it's going to have to go away one day. And that next day, everything has to smoothly be operating in the brand new system.
So it's just,
and I'm not entirely convinced that's going to be easy to manage.
It's just the queuing, taking down and
public perception on the issues is.
Yeah.
You know, you're dissolving, are you?
That's the area, yeah.
Probably the board's perception too.
Which board?
Yes. Do you even want that on there?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right now, more notes is better than less.
Right.
So no change.
Yeah.
Pro is, this is the easy solution. Con is, it's not really a solution to anything. It doesn't fix any problems.
Yeah, the current financial model is not sustainable. They have to change operations over.
Yeah, I think that would almost have to be commentary under no change. Mm-hmm. Would be that literally no change is not an option. There has to be some change within the no change.
Well, yeah, it would have to be some operational changes,
yes,
within
EMS.
EMS.
Yes.
Right.
As currently,
yes,
constituted.
I don't look at regional ALS, EMS as any kind of option right now.
Well, long term, it would, you know, be a possibility, but yeah, right now.
Yeah, and are we really trying to build long term?
I don't think that's what
that wasn't our charge.
Unless there's a path to it over, you know, decades or something.
I can see that being a narrative, potentially, you know, we don't file.
Yeah, I mean, that to me goes along with, yeah, I'll just have one hospital district,
right,
you know, just have one RFA.
In the best of all worlds.
Yeah, the best of all worlds, right, for a small resourced.
Well, if you thought an RFA was a possibility down the road, then you could start talking about that.
Yeah,
because
that's
they
right.
could contract ALS it's for all of the RFA.
Right.
And that would be about the only reason
right.
to do it.
Right. Right.
So, Brad, you're the one that brought this up. Was this mentioned by somebody on your commission? Was it?
Where did this come from?
The regional ALS version
just
with fire DOBLS.
Just brainstorming different ways to provide service efficiently. That one, particularly with a regional EMS district, seemed at a certain level a whole lot more functional than trying to do an RFA with fire response regionally as well, because of the immediate efficiencies in staffing. There's already one county-wide EMS system under the MPD with all the same protocols. So if people are thinking regionally, that's certainly the most attainable part of the process. I think it may be challenging to get it's doable, but more challenging to get the fire response moved into the regional operation.
So, next steps?
Next steps. Well, we've got definitely have some things identified for needing research.
Common one across all of them seemed to be the union contract, or quite a few of them. The union contract was an issue that was identified. We don't have a copy of that, do we?
I don't imagine it.
It's got
to
be available.
Yeah.
It's not going to be on
their website.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where it's at too, so.
Yeah, it's under documents on their website.
Yeah.
the status details.
Is there any going back with that, just as the devil's advocate?
Going back with that?
The union contract came because of the hostile work environment in Jim Corp.
Yeah.
If the medics perceive they are no longer in a hostile work environment.
You can always negotiate a way off.
For that, or not?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, whether that's feasible or not, I don't know, but.
They could always vote to get out of it, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't take a big vote.
Politics can be tricky, though.
The IFF.
You wind up with a lot of outside people, yeah.
Big time, but still.
It's not doable.
It's not, yeah, right. Dissolve makes it much easier to deal with.
Yeah.
Make sure all my pictures work here.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you can read these things.
So far, so good, though.
Usually it works pretty well.
One of the things we need to find out is who potential providers would be, I mean, realistically.
Yeah, private contractor.
Do you guys have anything you wanted to add here?
Nah. I haven't thought of anything new since we started the conversation.
So we need to understand who are potential providers under contracting.
We can make a list of that as well, just give me a minute here, of the to-dos stuff.
I think it'd be interesting to look at the economy of scale and some of the other issues, and then also talk to him about potential contractors to bring over some of that. Scott Williams is a fire chief on Orcas that runs the current, they're doing fire and ALS, BLS, and see what they're finding as far as economies of scale and runs. And it's a little bit different system. They don't have a hospital, but it was the old system that was here before there was a hospital.
Right.
And he's very willing. I talked with Scott last week. We had lunch, and he's very willing to come over and chat with us. He's very much a proponent of a combined system.
Long Beach recently consolidated 5 different fire departments and 1 regional EMS service into an RFA, like 2 years ago or a year ago.
And it always makes sense when it's easy to get between what was separate districts. But it's not easy here.
You can see a different tack taken, you know, Skagit, you've got a regional EMS service that they split up and put under fire departments. Then in the case of Long Beach, they took a different direction. So presumably.
Well, Skagit's a little bit different than that. Skagit had fire departments that I think were applying to BLS, weren't they, Brad?
They're all doing BLS, and the ALS providers were stationed in their, or
already
staged
in their station.
In their buildings.
Yeah. And I think the county was the one operating the ALS or contracting for it, and they're saying, we want the fire departments just to handle it. We're going to contract with the fire department, you guys handle it. So it's a little bit different than.
For sure.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of places with the RFA model going on, but.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are only 13 in the state, though.
But it's increasing.
It's increasing.
It's being looked at as a way to share resources and the economy to scale issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's. And I think it's really fire is finding that they're starting to struggle. And so we're looking at EMS and other ways of doing things as well. I mean, fire departments managing EMS. Is only about, it's less now than 60% in the country. It's dropping. A lot of that has to do with the way healthcare is going. Community paramedicine being changing, where resources of healthcare delivery is looking at a resource that is, you know, in many instances, just like here, 400 transports a year, that's one a day. if you really think about ALS, what can those resources be used for additionally, especially as a revenue source, when, you know, I forget what it was a year or so ago, I was at EMS today, or one of the EMS world, and they said that, you know, the municipalities are starting to say, you know, these atrocious budgets for fire departments, paying for all these fire trucks and so forth, that really don't respond to many fires. What's, you know, at the end of the day, what's the, where can you start to drive some additional costs or additional earnings, money? And, you know, with EMS, you know, they, back in the early days, CMS decided that the only way you're going to get paid is by transport. Mm-hmm. Now they're changing all of that, which then now allows them to start billing for additional services and collecting. So life is going to change. I mean, they're trying to write the 2050 EMS, you know, what EMS is going to look like. You know, about 30 years ago, they wrote the 2025 or something like that EMS, and what it's going to look like. So a lot of things are changing.
At what point do we reach out and talk to Dr. Sullivan? Get Dr. Sullivan's view.
I think he should be. I think absolutely he needs to come and give his viewpoint.
Sure. If you guys are talking about the issues, do you want me to read the issues from the different boards?
So let's make sure you have them covered, all of those. But yeah, I think we should hear it.
Yeah.
Play as well.
Under dissolve EMS, you guys have no medic union, turning old system off, turning back on without disruption, public perception and board perception. Under combine, you guys have, again, the union contract, management integration, cultural integration, operational details, who owns EMS license. And then for the combined merger, we've got levy design, district boundaries. For the contract services, you've got current medic union or similar limiting issue. And then under contract with a private resource, the question mark is who. That's the list of issues.
I mean, an issue, George, you brought up, and I agree, and it's just trying to figure out at what point do we start to think about queuing up a discussion with an attorney who could start to walk us through the political pieces of our levies, the way they exist today, what they might look like, what limitations there are.
I think if we can get a name of an attorney at the MRSC, we can ask questions of.
Right.
That would be good.
So at some point we've got to build.
We need to find out who that is.
Right.
Kind of running two different lists here.
Yeah, that's.
Do we have any desire to try to address some of the cultural issues that potentially are there to see if we can? I don't know if you bring together two or three fire folks and two or three EMS folks, and you're not going to get the whole gamut. But everybody's got, I mean, some strong opinions. I've heard strong opinions on both sides. From some of the staff. And some of the existing volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of it's not well informed, unfortunately, but.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's always a tough one.
Well, it's hard to try to find people that we can have a fair and balanced mm-hmm. conversation with. I think that's kind of tricky.
It's not necessarily the goal there, though.
Yeah.
The goal there is to find out what they think, because that impacts this, whether or not it's well-informed or not.
Yeah, it's a perception question, which doesn't necessarily have any basis in fact.
Yeah. But it's just making sure that you've got, you know, There's always gonna be somebody who's much more opinionated and maybe much, not necessarily representative of the group at large.
What about a survey? It'd be anonymous.
That's an interesting idea.
But somebody, you know, that doesn't create an open discussion.
Or you do, or you do a, you have a Survey Monkey where you limit the questions and the answers.
That's a very good idea. Otherwise, they just get afraid of the town hall open mic. Oh, no.
Brad, you ran a big survey at fire department over that long.
It did turn out to be a big survey.
That's.
Overwhelming response.
How many people did you ask? How many responses did you get?
I sent it to the whole agency, so 60 some odd, about 20.
That's not bad, 20 out of 60 for a survey.
That's pretty good response.
Yeah, that's pretty normal.
Yeah, and the responses track pretty consistently.
And the problem is, you know, to do sampling of the population and get statistically significant answers, you can't let them self-select who's gonna respond.
Right.
Because the ones who have the loudest voice or wanna make the most fuss or whatever are the ones who respond. Everybody else who's fine with things as they are and care don't respond.
Right.
So you hear from a few who have something to say, usually.
I wonder if you're getting too down in the weeds with that. Because if you conceptualize the best system, then it's up to the people who are charged with running the system to address those people making the noise in the town hall.
So it's really...
I think it's great if you get everything all the way down to those details of how to deal with the disaffected firefighters or EMT or paramedic.
I'm not interested about that either. I'm actually more interested in the prospects of any of these levies, any of these districting changes and stuff like that getting past the voters.
Right.
Because that, I think, will be a more interesting challenge than telling.
What I'm wrestling with right now, George, what drove it apart?
What drove
EMS and fire apart?
Read the white paper that...
No, I read the white paper. I'm trying to get... Because there was one individual that I understand that really did not want it, who was, Frank Wilson. And it drove apart based mostly on Frank Wilson and not wanting to have it combined.
Well, Frank was running EMS as the aid chief, and everybody loved him, and it was, you know, in EMS. But he wasn't as easily managed by the fire district as they would have liked.
Right, and so it came apart.
So, yeah, he figured the hospital district would be easier for him to work with than the fire district, and everybody did what Frank, within EMS, everybody supported Frank exclusively. So
what's driving this together? Or what's driving this
That's a really
right
good
now?
Question. I've asked that question.
Because
a couple of different times I've covered it myself.
I'm at a loss right now for
why do we want to go this
why way? Yes, this exercise, and because when I sat in front of the both boards, I'm not getting the sense I'm getting the sense from EMS that they needed to have a savior. I'm getting a sense from fire they don't want to be the savior.
That's what I get.
And so...
There's Michael Edwards, you know, on the PhD board who wants it to happen. There's Bob Jarman on the fire board that wants it to happen. And then there's everybody else. Pretty much. I mean,
but they don't
And Duncan wants to see the town do the right thing. So, you know, he's kind of on board.
But if Michael Edwards and Bob Jarman were consistent in why they wanted to see it happen, I would say it has a driver. Frank drove it, okay? My point of asking the question was, why did it come apart?
So the real reason it was a lot of the get movement from EMS right now, from some of the EMTs and paramedics, is they had a board that was really questioning their operation, their budget, and everything else, and they didn't like that. I think you were at some of the ones where, I mean, people were flipping the board the bird and all kinds of stuff. And so there was a lot of dysfunction between the board and the paramedics, EMT, I would say probably more EMTs than paramedics, but I don't know.
There's dysfunction within the board, let's just say that. I mean, let's call it something.
And so they were looking for anything to get away from that, and so there was some conflict, they wanted to get away from that, they didn't like me in question, and they thought, well, let's go over to the fire now, because they seem to be fully functional and not doing, you know.
It's, go where it's safest.
Go where it's safest.
You know, safe harbor.
And what I've heard from board members, it's a way to get more money, that, you know, they're not getting enough money.
Fire the board member?
PhD.
PhD board member.
That they need more money, EMS is just fine, they, all they need is more money, we can't get any more, so if we go into fire, we get more money.
Yeah, the 50-cent limit or something is not sustainable, so put it into fire, because they can go higher.
Yeah.
That's not a good argument.
That's not very persuasive, but I think I've heard that too, actually.
And then from a community perspective, I mean, at least what I keep hearing consistently is a perception that EMS is in severe financial difficulty.
Yes.
So there's a fear about what that means. So, not that that's the driver to the question, but.
Right.
That's kind of the background.
And part of it, we have to understand the two levies, and I'm not an expert on levies, but my, and Brittany Brad knows this, but my understanding is the EMS levy will go up and down based on the values of properties, so when there's economic downturn and the property values decreased, the levy they collected decreased as well, whereas fire is a set amount, and so while the values decreased, the rate per thousand went up to make, keep them whole.
It's still a mill rate levy.
Right, no, the mill rate is, because it's a fixed levy, it's the same amount, and yet the mill rate goes up and down depending on property values.
For fire, for EMS, not that way.
But we have the 1% limit.
Right, you have the 1% limit, but EMS, if the values go down, the revenue goes down, that's what got them in the hole, that's where they started this whole thing. That was one of the things, but, and that can happen again, if we have another economic downturn, the values go down, the amount they collect goes down, and they're already struggling to make the finances work now, so if and when, not if, when, the next time a downturn happens and the property values go down, they're in even probably bigger trouble than they were before.
So one of the do-nothing options would be to simply pass a permanent regular property tax levy for vehicles. That wouldn't go up and down, because it would be the same as everybody else's.
If you can do it with that levy, I don't know if you can do it with that one.
We can't do it with the current one, apparently you can't. You can't do that with any EMS levy?
I'm not an expert.
I think we need to learn about EMS levy.
Yes.
I've been told that you can only do it if you're under a fire department.
That's my understanding as well.
That's what I heard.
But I'm not an expert.
Which is part of what played into this.
Yes.
And why they wanted to do it. Not, I, you know, I don't verify that, but smart people don't do that.
We need the answers to that.
So I actually heard from another, well, I heard from a person who was involved in the last, when the split happened before, and this is a medical person in our community, and the sentiment is that fire is all about big trucks and just, you know, gorillas, and EMS is, that's medical service, and they're totally different, they should not be together, because, you know, one is...
Sorry.
But he's not alone in that field.
No, I know.
Well, that was an argument at the time.
Yes.
Is that EMS is a medical service. It's even in the name. Why aren't they part of a hospital or medical, in this case, medical center? Because that's what they do. And it makes more sense to be providing outreach medical to go bring patients in for the medical center to be doing it, i.e. the hospital district at the time, than it does fire. I mean, yes, they go on calls occasionally to the same place, but they often go on calls that aren't anything to do with fire.
And I would say, I would argue we're going on calls more together now than we ever have.
Well, probably true, but the fact,
for a number of reasons.
The fact is that, you know, MVAs, yeah, of course, you can respond to, but if you
medical assists.
Yeah.
But what's the reason behind you're going on medical assist?
Well, a while ago we started doing more on the CPR. When they had a CPR in progress, they're calling us for manpower. staff.
Right, so it's a staff resource.
We're also assisting them with lifting patients. It's a
staff resource. Yeah.
And
so then the question becomes do they not have enough staff resource? And then it becomes another question as to, are they incapable of getting staff resource? Is it a better deal to have the fire department? I mean, you know, you're working with volunteer agencies in both realms, which right. is a pool of individuals. And so can they not, without the combined service, get enough individuals in one area or the other? And I think there are things that we just need to look at. But again, I'm trying to, at the end of the day, when we come forward with a recommendation, because again, you know, if we all sat here, we would say one hospital district, we would all say one hiring entity, we would say, minimal resources in a county of, you know, 16,000 people. So why not have consolidation that gets the best of? That's certainly a very, that's larger than what we're ever going to look at. So when we get together, then what is going to drive this thing? And we need to be able to come up with a lot more pros.
Yes.
That we don't have in our list. To figure this thing out.
I would submit that you need one to sell it to the public. One bright, shining value of how it's going to improve patient care, how it's going to improve fire response, whatever it is. But it's got
and Brad, that would be?
One big, shiny, sexy thing. And I have no idea.
Yeah, there you go. See, so that's...
It's easy to get down in the weeds
here. You can't try to do 12 different little things and try to make people understand it.
Yeah.
So.